Culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, where did that weekend go, boys? Oh, I've got to adjust my camera here a little bit. Where'd that weekend go? I don't know why the thing keeps sagging down on me. God bless you. Good to have you. Had a good weekend here in the Coach Dave house. I spent some time with the grandbabies, swimming upstream in some areas, but it's all good. Good to have you here. I'm just looking here. I see Illinois and Kansas and Ohio and Maine and Indiana, and I don't know if we're growing, but we sure are popping out different places. And I told somebody the other day, he said, "Man, we're preaching to the world here. We are preaching to the world." That makes you feel important, doesn't it? But it happens to be the truth. We know our buddies out in New Zealand are checking in here with us, and a lot of them watching. By the way, if you can't get into the queue today, you can listen on the phone at 605-475-0017. You think I'll get that memorized at some point? 605-475-0017. I'm going to give that to you one more time. 605-475-0017. So if you're going to drive to work today, or you're shaving, or you can't get a chance to get in here from a video standpoint, at least you can come in here and join us with the audio. Hey, Roger. See, Roger popped in here a little bit late. Just heard from Larry. Larry is somewhere out in Oklahoma. He's in the hotel, and he can't get good reception, so he called us. I don't know. He felt like he's checking in the class there. He wanted to report to the teacher that he's absent today. So it's an excused absence today, Larry. Be safe, and God bless you, man, for all you're doing. World's on fire. The culture's disintegrating, guys. I want to tell you something. I'm going to make a prediction here today. I was wondering here before the morning show began whether I was going to do it. But I'm going to make it. I'm going to make that prediction. You ready? You turn on the news, which I don't do. I haven't watched TV in going on 2 weeks. My son was here last night, and he was watching a little bit of that Olympics. I'm sorry, I don't care. I couldn't even care less. I haven't watched a ball game. I haven't turned on the TV in at least 3 weeks. And I do check stuff on the internet, and I said, uh-oh. Trump's dropping out. Trump's going to drop out. They got him now. They got him now. He's going to drop out, and all these big Hollywood, Washington, D.C., big wigs, they're going to drop him out of there now. And I'm watching all this stuff, and I'm chuckling, and I go places, and I go around people, and it's harder to find a Hillary backer than it is a pastor that'll tell the truth. It's harder. And we all know that isn't going on. We know that they've been rigging the polls. Why are they rigging the polls? We know why they're rigging the polls. They're rigging the polls so that we don't get fooled at the end when they tell it's down to two states and boy, this has just been nip and tuck. It's just been two states, and oh my goodness, if just Cuyahoga County, oh, just down to Hamilton County, Ohio. Oh my goodness, if only we can turn out the votes, if only we can do voter registration, oh my goodness. And in the meantime, you turn on your TV, you go to Facebook, you look, Trump's got 8,000 at his rally, and Hillary's got 200. How stupid are you? How stupid are you? And the other day they told us that Trump was, what, 10, 12 points behind? And then yesterday, nope, I guess we're wrong. It's only two. I'm going to tell you something. He's ahead about 30. Trump is ahead about 30 points right now. I'm just telling you the truth. You can believe the polls and all the cheating and everything that's going on. They are doing everything they can to convince you he's ready to drop out. Boy, if he would just drop out, wouldn't that be awful if they had to bring Jeb Bush in and put him in there? Don't think that they're above it, above doing that. But here's the prediction I'm going to make to you today. What is the date? It's 8-8-2016. See, numerology, 8-8-2016. It's got to be a number in there someplace. You heard it here first. Write it down, Weaver. You write it down. Hey, Mike, you write it down. Hillary will not make it till November. Hillary will not make it till November. That's my prediction. It's coming today. There's such a storm cloud that's building around her. I'm sure you guys saw on the Drudge Report where they had to help her up the steps. Did you all see that? We're talking about a woman running for president of the United States, can't even walk up the steps. And they're doing everything they can to hide exactly what's going on. And wait till, according to what I've been reading, wait till WikiLeaks breaks a new one on Hillary. We already know that they gave $400 million to the Iranians, right? Somebody help me. But in a normal American republic, wouldn't that person already be in jail? Shouldn't Obama already be in jail? What the hell's going on? What the hell's going on? And now we find out that Hillary approved it too. She knew it was going on. And in fact, her spokesman said the other day that she just misplaced it. Just misplaced 400 million, billion, whatever. Some whole hunk of money. Just misplaced it. To Iran, of all places. Folks, listen. You better realize this. You can laugh. JR, get your tinfoil hat on. There are men behind the curtain in America that are doing unbelievably devious, despotic, demonic stuff. My buddy Steven right there turned me on to a video that I watched this weekend, by the way, Steven, called The Unholy Sea, done by Steve Quayle. You guys got 2 hours and 15 minutes. You want your toes to curl, we'll send you that one. I'm not going to tinfoil hat it here this morning, but it makes some more pieces fall into place for me to exactly what's going on. And the distractions and the distractions and the distractions and the distractions and the distractions. Here's what's getting ready to happen. You ready? Anybody want to make a prediction? What's going to happen? Anybody? Your brain doesn't work like mine probably. There's going to be a financial calamity before the election. Going to be one. And that's the way that they're going to be. Listen, guys, they have got to keep Trump out of there. They got to keep him out. Say what you want to about him. They don't want him in there. And all those people out there would say, well, he's a stalking horse for Hillary. Listen, this dude, you think he's going to fall on his sword for Hillary? Man, as boastful and as proud as Donald Trump, he's going to go out and fall on his sword for Hillary. Always be remembered as a guy who lost to Hillary. If you think that, you're dumber than I even imagined you are. And I think that maybe when he got into the election, maybe he was doing it for a reason we don't understand. But when he found out he could win, Trump wants to win, man. It's just the art of making the deal. So he wants to close this thing out for sure. And the guys on the other side don't want him to close it out for sure. So I'm telling you, there's something that's going to happen. The men behind the curtain are not going to let Trump do what Trump wants to do. Hey, guys, why – just a little quiz here. Why won't they close the borders? I mean, let's all just assume that all of the people in Washington, D.C. are smarter than us. I mean, I know that's a reach, but let's just assume for a minute they're smarter than us. And we see what illegal immigration is doing to us and open borders. We see it. Let's say they're not real smart, but they probably see it. Why aren't they stopping it? Anybody have a suggestion as to why? Floor is open. Jared?
Disunity. Well, just confusion, racial confusion, and then that will aid in a financial crisis. They'll be able to grab power easier because there's confusion elsewhere.
Drain the system. Put pressure on the system. Bring it down. That's the Alinsky. We talked about that.
That's right.
That's the Alinsky plan.
And we know what they want. Excuse me. What they want more than anything. Cruz Baca, you ready? Sorry. They want more than anything a North American union. They want more than anything a North America without borders. That's what they want. It's been their desire to give us a North American union, to eliminate borders, to eliminate the U.S. Can somebody tell me why they – hey, Michael, can anybody tell me why they want to eliminate the United States? Stephen, are you going to tell us, Stephen, or are you waving? Wait, no. What do you got, Steve? Why do they want to eliminate the United States?
Are you on there?
Because I hate to come back to this, but I'll double back around.
Why?
The white, heterosexual, Christian male is the only thing standing between the New World Order and complete and total world dominance. That's it isn't any more simple than that, guys. It isn't any more simple than that. And it's funny, JR, that we're in the mess that we're in because of the silence of the church, because the church doesn't get it, and the church doesn't understand. I got a little thing up there I'm going to show you. God is love. We talked about that the other day, didn't we, Roger? God is love. God is love. And we went through those 900 names, whatever it was, different things, different characteristics of God. Well, I got a new one for you today I want to put up here. Jared, it's entitled livingtheway.org, 43 things. You'll see it there. And the reason that the chaos is out there, and the reason they have to continue with the chaos is because they have to overwhelm Christian America. So it is a cultural war that's going on. And if you think about all the little distractions that they have going on all around us, we're worrying about ISIS, we're worrying about immigration, we're worried about Black Lives Matter, we're worried, I mean, just everywhere. All the distractions, and it's the old football term, it's like running a bootleg, got to keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball! And they got us to the point where we're not keeping the eye on the ball. I know from a conversation I had with, hey guys, it's the church's fault. It's the church's fault. Whatever this thing Larry's not on, he'd be spanking me right now. This thing that we're calling the church, that isn't the church. It's the church's fault. And we keep calling this thing called the church the bride of Christ and keep calling her a she and a her. And listen, that is not the body of Christ. That you're seeing in all these buildings is not the body of Christ. I don't know how I can make that any more clear to you. In fact, JR, I would say that this thing called the body of Christ has contributed more to the at least as much through their apathy to the destruction of America than anything else. I was listening to a guy yesterday called it the Osteenification of America. The Osteenification. In other words, the gospel of Joel Osteen has spread all throughout the pulpits. Nobody will stand up and nobody will speak out. And as Rich has stumbled upon this week, and I've stumbled upon people, you start talking about God not being loved, man. You have touched the third rail of politics. So I got Jared to pull up there for you. Kick it up here on the screen. There's at least, guys, at least 43 things the Lord hates. And there's the scriptural references for it. We can go down through them real quickly. Every time somebody tells you God's love, well, you can pop this at him. And the scriptural references. What 43 things he hates? Hates homosexual acts. Hates bestiality. He hates idols and the materials used to make idols. He hates blemished sacrifices. He hates worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars, and the Cleveland Browns. He hates divination. He hates astrology. He hates enchanters. He hates witches. Guys, God doesn't love everybody. He hates charmers, wizards, necromancers, and transvestites, and the hire of a whore. Ooh, you ready? He hates remarriage to a former wife after she's been married to another man. I want to talk about this next one here a minute. He hates dishonest scales. Boy, that'll preach. Hey, Roger, he hates all workers of iniquity. He hates those who love violence. He hates those who are froward and perverse. He hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. Isn't it amazing that even these, though these aren't people, these are attached to people? No, don't, hey, love the sin, hate the sinner. No, we're in the Bible. Gandhi said that. He hates a lying tongue. We talked about lying the other day. I got some emails on that one, by the way, Stephen. 23, he hates hands that shed innocent blood. Can you say abortion? But isn't it funny? He hates the hands. He doesn't hate abortion. He hates ones that do it. See, you can't separate somebody's hands from their body. You can't just say, well, I hate their hands. Oh, I love the rest of them, though. Boy, I sure hate those hands they got. Right? Hands signify action, doing something. He hates the heart that devises wicked imaginations. Hillary. He hates feet that are swift and running to mischief. Obama. Hillary. He hates a false witness who speaks lies. He hates anyone who sows discord amongst the brethren. Hey, Rich, we got to stop right there, bud, because there's a very important question inherent in that. What's a brother? It says he hates those who sow discord among brothers. Who are brothers? See, we've been kind of convinced that we're just the family of man. We're all brothers here. That just isn't true. Just isn't true. Hey, I ain't Hillary's sister. She ain't my sister. Sorry, Hillary ain't my sister. And neither's Obama my brother. He's brotherhood of man, maybe. We're talking about the Bible. We're not talking about the secular world. Where am I? It's lying lips. Well, no. Let's just cut off the lips. Then he loves the person. Is that what we're supposed to think? Lips don't represent the heart or anything. He hates those that sacrifice. He hates the sacrifices of the wicked. He hates the ways of the wicked. I got to preach at the clinic today. He hates the thoughts of the wicked. Boy, if you're wicked, you in trouble, looks to me like. He hates the proud in heart. We talked about that, 11 of the Pharisees. He hates those who justify the wicked. Can you say Republican establishment? Somebody say amen, brother. Amen there, coach. Those who justify the wicked. He hates those who condemn the just. It's good stuff, isn't it? He hates vain sacrifices. He hates feasts as Israel celebrated them. He hates robbery for burnt offering. Oh, my goodness, he hates idolatry. He hates evil plans against neighbors. He hates false oaths. He hates Esau. Wow. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Pretty clear. He hates divorce. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, we can probably go through the Bible and find 43 things he loves. Probably can. I'm not here to debate whether God loves. But I'm certainly here to debate whether God is only love. And remember, God's perfectly balanced. Perfectly balanced. If he loves, he hates. If he's happy, he grieves. It's a perfect balance. And I just kind of slipped over this last week. I think it's important for us to cover it once again. We have to realize, fellas, that we are dealing on and all this stuff. When you're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you're talking about the Lord God Almighty, when you're talking about the creator of the universe, we have to understand that there are things about him we cannot understand. Let me tell you a cute little story. My granddaughter went to like a zoo this weekend. But it wasn't a zoo, but she's five. She's really smart, little five-year-old. And while they were there, a cow gave birth to a calf. And they walked up right after the calf was laying there on the ground. You know how they got the afterbirth over and the mother comes over and licks it all off of them and everything like that. And my sweet little granddaughter said to me, Grampy, the cow was bleeding from his rear end, from her rear end. From her butt, maybe she said. I said, well, honey, listen. That wasn't her butt. She said, what? So no, she was bleeding from her vagina. Babies come out of vaginas. And she said, but Grampy, you told me that food goes in the stomach and out the butt. And isn't the baby in the stomach? That's some wisdom, isn't it, for a little five-year-old? And I could see in her face, she's thinking, wait a minute, a baby's going to come out of there? I could see it. See, there are things, if you have the wrong premise, if you don't have a great understanding, see, you end up with the wrong solution and the wrong answer. And so when somebody says, well, who created God? God isn't created. He's outside of time. Creation is a creation of time. Did you guys get that? In the beginning? See, beginning only has to do with time. If you're in a realm beyond time, there is no beginning and there is no end. There is no time. We cannot understand it because we're trying to view from our natural senses and our natural mind, and we just don't get it. Says somewhere in that Bible that we're actually going to be in a place where you travel to speed of thought. Right? You guys aware of that? So there is no we're in this time-space continuum. We're locked in now. And again, don't want to keep harping on it. We believe so many things that just aren't true. And as part of the giant we're trying to slay here at Pass the Salt. Hey, let me open the floodgates. Anybody got anything to add on all that stuff? Did you know that about cows? That doesn't come out their butt? They don't poop out babies? John. Dave. Yeah, Raj. Yeah.
Well, the only thing I would add to the whole conversation, I think it was Friday night, I had a group of family over and we got talking, and I pulled out my Huddle notes for the last couple months, and I mesmerized them for about an hour. I think they thought I was a prophet. And all joking aside, so much of what we're learning and teaching each other, sharing, they were in shock. It was in the Bible. And they are people that go to church. And I don't know how to describe the hour and a half I had of sharing scripture and topics, and their eyes just, like, you know, questions like, well, why hasn't some of this been taught to us? Why have we not heard this? So the Huddle speak in truth, and we need to share that truth with others.
Anybody else having that experience? Are any of you making headway at all with anybody in some of these sacred cows that we've always believed?
No, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, I went to church yesterday, and it's a real struggle for me actually going to church after coming off an OSA event.
Amen.
And the pastor has actually been gone for 2 months because he's had health problems, and he was back, and he wanted everybody to make sure that they went home this week and that they watched the Olympics, not so they could see athletic achievement, but as so they could see the backstories of the perseverance that these athletes had done, and then he talked about gospel preaching, and he really believes that he's preaching the gospel, but I mean he's not really preaching it. He's, you know, he'll have a verse or two he'll throw in there and he'll give an example, but he's it's Tony Robbins deal, you know, preaching Tony Robbins, and you know, the guy's got talent. He's a talented pastor, or at least an orator, but it's like he's got no faith. It's scary. I don't know, but. It's tough to deal.
Well, I'm looking right here. I'm looking right here, John, as you're saying that. Maybe Pastor Wayne can help me out there. Guys, listen. People say, preach the gospel. We all hear that, right? Preach the gospel, brother. Just preach the gospel. Okay? And then I ask a question. What gospel? Well, they say, well, the gospel's good news, brother. The gospel's good news. Okay, good news about what? You want me to preach the gospel? Well, what's the good news about it? And see, they don't understand that both John the Baptist and Jesus came preaching a specific gospel. They didn't come just preaching the gospel. They came preaching Matthew chapter, I'm still six. Looking for the other one.
Six.
Chapter 6, is it, Pastor Wayne?
6:33, seek first the kingdom of God.
Okay, you're ahead of me, brother. That's right, we can go there. We can go there. But I'm looking even earlier than that. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. The beginning of Matthew chapter 3. Are you there? 3 verse 1?
Yep.
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's preaching the kingdom of God. You go to verse 17 of chapter 4. Next chapter, 4:17. From that day, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, Pastor Wayne, here's what you can dig up for me.
Right.
Because somewhere Jesus says, they want to know about the end times. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all men, and then the end shall come. He doesn't just say, and this gospel shall be preached. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And
Matthew, Matthew 24:14.
Matthew 24:14. Look there, fellas. It's critical. Because, John, your pastor's just giving you a little, he's just giving you a little tip of it. He's just giving you a little tip. Going to let the Olympics preach to you? Are you kidding me?
Well, I guarantee you, he believes that he's doing the full counsel. And we talk, and he knows. I know he knows.
Okay, so are we there in 24? Let's get at verse 4 real quick, because this is really important, guys. You can't just preach love, God's love. You preach a gospel, gospel love. That's we're stuck there. As they said, it's this, the ostinification of America. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said, I'm 24:4. Got that up there for me, Jared? Man, you are all over it. 24:4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, hang on, guys. People aren't coming and saying they're the Christ. They're coming and saying that they have a better way. Okay, you understand this? People aren't standing up and saying, I'm Jesus, or I'm Jesus, or I'm... They're coming and saying they have a better way. Right? Coming and saying, I'm a deliverer. Not that I'm Jesus Christ. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war, and see ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Interesting. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are just the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, shall be hated of all nations. Oh, isn't that interesting? Well, they hate America, don't they? You shall be hated of all nations. Why? For my name's sake. So we quit using his name even. We don't want to make people mad. We serve the same God. Right? We Christians and Muslims, we just serve the same God. Just different paths. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many and make a whole lot of money selling their products. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures unto the end, that dude's going to be saved. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What gospel is it, Rich? What gospel is it, Rich? The gospel
of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom. There's a new king. There's a new set of rules. There's a new way of doing things. And then if we don't preach that gospel, listen, if the gospel is just, guys, come on. If the gospel is just love, why do they hate us so much? If Jesus just came the gospel of love, why'd they crucify him? If the disciples were just spreading the gospel of love, why did they Murder all them. Crucify them upside down. If it's just a love message. No, Jesus came telling them there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new king and a new kingdom. And this old one's passing away. And this old religious system and all that stuff. It's all passed away. And that's not the gospel we're preaching. We're preaching the gospel of love. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus. We're preaching the gospel. Hey, Pastor Wayne, if we preach the gospel of Jesus, then we're preaching the kingdom of God. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's the gospel of Jesus. For this purpose was John 3:8, Roger. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest that he would destroy the works of the devil. That's the kingdom of God coming and crushing the kingdom of darkness. That's the battle. And that kingdom of light, having victory over the kingdom of darkness, applies in every area of your life. It applies personally. It applies to your finances. It applies to your family. It applies to your friends. It applies to your business. Light wins over darkness. And everywhere you go, every job you hold, every person you deal with, you're going to be dealing with darkness and light. That is the battle. And what is the gospel of the kingdom? Light will win. When you flash it, when you shine it, it will win. Somebody out there has something to say.
Dave?
Yeah.
I think of the disciples in the early church. The disciples all died horrible deaths. They kicked John out to Patmos Island. They all died horrible deaths because at that time they were preaching just love. And everybody loved them. That's why they all died horrible deaths.
Amen. That's right. Like they'd be crucifying Joel Osteen, right? They'd be crucifying Joyce Meyer and that bilge that they're teaching. Of course not. Of course not. Why did they crucify Jesus? He said, because they hated me first. But, hey, guys, listen. I hope this doesn't sound blasphemous. But it's a picture. Okay? Look how Donald Trump is preaching a gospel of Americanism. And how the globalists hate that message. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump's the savior. Don't get me wrong. But you see the conflict, right? Globalism versus Americanism. Globalism versus patriotism. Globalism versus America's first. And they hate him. So, because he's upsetting a system. So Jesus comes, and there's a political system in place. And there's a religious system in place. And he comes, and he's preaching a different system. And Jared, did they love him? Hell no, they didn't. Couldn't wait to kill him. He said, they hated me first. They hated me first. Now, love's a part of it. But what is love? Well, God is love, right? They tell us, right? Enough. So you see the deception? John didn't mean to preach on pick on your pastor, but I hear it over and over. Coach, just preach the gospel.
Just preach. I agree.
Gospel. Okay, I'm going to preach the gospel. Let me read Ezekiel 3. That's the gospel. Oh, gee, don't go there. Let me preach Judges to you. Oh, no, don't even say that word. No, don't even say that word. Let me preach the book of Revelation, specifically chapter 19 to you. No, that's hateful and judgmental. See what they've done to us? And as a result of it, our salt has lost its savor. We're the salt of the earth, we're not the sugar of the earth. And because we've taken the message and we've made it something that it's not, we're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We're just preaching a gospel now, gospel of love. That's why we're up against something here, boys. So I want to show you something here. Jared, if I get my computer to kick on back here. Hey, Jared, let's go to that video, bud. Guys, this is real short, but I think it's important for us to see this one as well.
Which one?
I knew you were going to say that, Jared. It says greatest theft in history. You see it there, bud?
Yep.
Show me what?
Really? Okay, now stop us. Guys, this is a short clip out of a larger video that you ought to all see. This is about 7 minutes. Now listen, we're talking about a system. Remember, how do we start to show off? We started to show off because I told you that there's something cataclysmic that's getting ready to happen in America. I call them false flags. I don't call them false flags. They do call them false flags. we're finding out that a lot of these things that are happening around America, they were staged. They didn't really happen. And I don't want to get into them and which ones were real ones and which ones weren't. But they're all being done for a specific purpose. And that specific purpose to set up the people to cry for protection of the government. That's where we're heading. And that they're going to tell us, well, we have to do this for your own good. You've got to do this for your own good. And many of the people say, oh, great, great, great. Okay, good. So this little video is part of a larger one, but this is called The Greatest Theft in History. These are, guys, gals, the ones who control the money are the ones who are in control of America. Could Hillary get elected president without the support of all those bankers and all those guys?
No.
No, of course not. I remember when I ran for election back in 2010, I ran for Congress. One of the idiots I was running against said that she wasn't going to take money from people who expected favors. Now, how stupid are you? You give money because you expect favors. Do you think all these Wall Street bankers are giving money to Hillary because they love Hillary so much? Are we that stupid? But somehow we seem to think that we are. And whether you want to hear or not, Cruz bots, whether you want to know it or not, Ted Cruz's wife was working for Goldman Sachs. I don't know what you think. I think that's awful, man. It's funny how things can infiltrate. So how will they most easily be able to control us? Through money. So we have some type of financial collapse. The inner cities will become hellholes. Will they not? You guys understand what that'll be like in those inner cities. And what are they going to do? Oh, please, send us some police. Send us some police. And good old Obama, he will send out the National Guard, and he'll militarize those guys, and they'll lock down on that city, and then they'll say, whoa, we can't have an election right now. Things are in too much discord here in America. Is that out of the realm of possibility for anybody to see that happening?
Yes, because there's executive orders, the NDAA. These things are already implemented.
They're already there, brother. They're already there. So I want to show you this. This is called The Greatest Theft in History, and I want you to see financially what they've done to us, because ultimately that's how they're going to get us, financially. It's about 7 minutes. Go ahead and play that, Jared, if you will.
Going. Oh, where are we? Battle of Waterloo. Hold on, we gotta get through. The money machine. There it is. Hey, is that the same people? Rich banker men from Germany flying under the banner of the Red Sheet. They finance both sides of the war. We must hurry! That's him, the Red Sheet courier! Shoot him!
No, I'm not shooting anyone.
Damn it, Pye.
What?
He beat everyone back with the news of the war and told England that Napoleon won. The Red Sheet bankers in London pretended that England was doomed and started selling their English stocks. The English went into a selling frenzy to get rid of worthless English money.
But the English won, right?
Of course they won. But it was a trick by Red Shield. They waited until the stocks plummeted to pennies and then bought England back for nearly nothing.
What? They did that? How?
When the English leaders found out, they had no choice but to give themselves over to the Red Shield. Their money was gone and they were slaves to the Red Shield war debt. Since that time, the English have been paying their national taxes directly to the Red Shield private bankers. The people have no idea. But the bankers bragged about what they did to us, laughing at us all the way to the bank.
Why, it's the best business I've ever done. If I can control a nation's wealth, I care not who makes its laws.
Oh, is this what Jefferson wanted to show me?
No, Pyle. Look. They're in America, too? The Red Shield banks are here, Pyle. Seeking a way to conquer our American dream. The dream you have, Pyle. The dream of free men. They tried to take over our country many times and failed because Jefferson and the Patriots vowed to stop the evil tyrants at all costs. By authority of eternal God, he would not let the bankers win here. To preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our choice between economy and liberty or profusion and servitude.
Wow.
I place economy among the first and most important of Republican virtues, and public debt as the greatest of the dangers to be feared. It is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes.
We must have a central bank to secure this country's finances.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the very continent their fathers conquered.
Jefferson, you're mad. This country will have a central bank.
Who's that?
America's first Secretary of Treasury.
Alexander Hamilton?
Not for long. Aaron Burr, Thomas Jefferson's vice president. They didn't take too kindly to our first Sec Treasury. Sweet shot, Burr. The first attempt at a central bank only lasted 20 years and we shut it down. But the bankers tried again against old Hickory President Andrew Jackson.
You are a den of vipers and thieves. I intend to rout you out, and by the eternal God, I will rout you out.
After surviving an assassination attempt, Jackson finally defeated the bank in 1836. When asked what was the greatest accomplishment in his life, Old Hickory replied,
I killed the bank.
And those were his last words. I killed the bank. And with real money backed with real gold, our country experienced the greatest boom in any nation's history. Oh, it was beautiful, pal. But the bankers, greedy for more power and wealth, were concocting their most ambitious plan yet to once and for all take control of the finances of the United States. In 1910, a secret meeting was held at a J.P. Morgan estate on Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia. This meeting was so secretive, so concealed from government and public knowledge, that the 10 attendees used code names.
I am clearly the richest man, so I should be the one to run the super secret central bank. I own all the oil in America. I'm clearly richer than you will ever be, hula girl. I should run the super secret central bank. You're nothing compared to me, lube job. I shall run the secret bank.
Silence!
Supreme Master Leader, I didn't know you were gonna be here.
I'm not. Neither are you, dumbass.
Oh, yeah, right. He's so smart.
None of you shall run the bank. We have failed in the past because of openness. This time, the key to success is secrecy. The people must believe that they run the bank.
Yes, brilliant! A sneak attack. What's the plan?
We first create panic, then we show them the solution. With our man in office and well-planned timing, we will have our central bank. And so the people think it is theirs. We shall christen it Federal. The Federal Reserve.
They struck on December 23rd, 1913. When most of our Congress were at home eating fruitcake, these bastards, bankers, presented their treasonous act to their newly elected accomplice, Woodrow Wilson, who had fortuitously already agreed to sign it before he was even elected. Wait, the IRS? I thought we always had the IRS. No, Pyle. They did this to us, too. The Fed now has the exclusive power to print America's money. They loan this money to our banks and our government at interest, putting immediate debt on our own money, printing more and more, so each dollar they print becomes worth less than the one before. Merry Christmas. What in the hell is that? That pie is how our government now must pay back these debts to the Fed. Your taxes did not go to your government.
They don't?
It's the greatest theft in human history.
That's part of a longer video. It gets into money printing and all that kind of stuff. But again, the whole purpose of showing you that, guys, is to understand that we do not control our money. And because we don't control our money, the boom bust of the economy, they're getting ready to orchestrate another bust so that America falls into panic. Comments about that or about anything at this point?
Bank bail-ins.
What's that?
Bank bail-ins.
Bank bail-ins. What happened in 2008? Do you remember that? Remember when they started talking to us about banks being too big to fail? Right? And were the bank? Who bailed out the banks? Now, what did Obama just do with Iran? Gave them $400 million. Good question. Where did that money come from? Where'd that money come from, Roger? $400 million. Did you see it delivered on pallets? You're muted.
I'm assuming it came from us, our taxpayers, or wherever, or they just printed it.
Printed it. You know. The interesting thing about the money that he gave to them was some of it was in French money, some of it was in all different kinds of money, so that he couldn't trace it right back to American dollars, right? So this whole idea that Roger and Rich and all of us are worrying about the IRS and paying our taxes and worrying about the IRS coming after us. The point that was made that most of us don't even understand is every dollar collected by the Internal Revenue Service goes strictly to pay off the debt. It goes right directly to this group of bankers. So therefore, who controls America? Who controls banks. America? The bankers. And so when you go look at Hillary and all the money that she's raising, who's funding her? The bankers, right? It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So, what do we do? Again, I like to be a guy that has solutions. What do we do at this point? Anybody have a solution, Jared?
Well, economically, you have to become financially independent. You cannot have debt. Period. You cannot have debt. But the difference between this time is there may be a currency crisis. Our fiat currency is losing its confidence.
Right.
People are losing confidence in the Federal Reserve system, which is a debt system. That's where this might change. It may go back to a gold standard, hopefully, direction.
Well, not see... Yes, but why do they want to financially collapse America?
Power.
Yes.
Well, I think people will turn to government and there'll be just mass chaos. The only thing I can think of is they think that if they collapse America, some way they will be able to control things. But I think the people will be on the streets in such large numbers, it'll just be mass chaos.
Yes, Roger, I agree with that, except, see, this stuff is just even dangerous, scary for us to talk about. What if our own government is the one they got all this weaponry that they can use against the citizens? Now, we wouldn't think that they ever would, but would they? Jared, you've been in the military. Are there guys in that military that'll just follow orders? Or how about this one? We know this, that there are UN, United Nations soldiers already on American soil. United Nations soldiers, will they care about shooting some old fat American like me? They ain't gonna care about that. There are enemies to begin with. So this is so nefarious what's going on. And it's happened to us because we have, again, I come back to the church, all these things that have gone on, we've allowed to happen with the approval of the church. Now, some of it was ignorance, right? Some of it was ignorance. When did we go off the gold standard? Anybody know?
1972.
I was alive. My parents were around when we let them do that and begin to print what we call fiat money and ever-going inflation. I like to use this illustration. I don't know if I have it here or not. I have a silver quarter. If you take a silver quarter, I think I've told you this before. A silver quarter, an old-fashioned quarter made out of silver, pre-1964. In 1964, that silver quarter would have bought a gallon of gas, 25 cents. Remember those days, anybody but me? 25-cent gas? Well, today, that same silver quarter, real quarter, will buy a gallon of gas. See, it's not the silver that's lost, that's changed. The value of, see, the Lord hates unjust weights and measures. Remember that one of those 43? Mm-hmm. The quarter still holds its value. It's the dollar that's lost the value. Do you understand that? That's what inflation is. That's inflation. My dad bought his house for $7,000. And we talked about how when dad died and he left us, I think we sold the house for $120,000. Said, man, did dad ever make a good investment? No, dummy. No. It's the same house that dad used to get for $7,000. Now we got to pay $125,000 for it. The house hadn't changed. The value of the money changed. And so we look around and see what's going on in America right now. They are over, rules for radicals. They're overloading the system. They're bringing in all these immigrants from around the world. And what are they giving these immigrants when they come in? What are they giving them? Somebody help me. Welfare benefits, housing, food stamps, college. Who's paying for that? Well, ain't nobody paying because the money ain't real. But at some point, this whole system gets overloaded. Can you imagine? Take your pension, Rich, your pensioner. I don't want to scare you, Rich. Rich retires this Friday, his last day of work this Friday. He's got a good pension. He's got a good pension as long as what? As long as the dollar's good, he's got a good pension. But if they upload everything, his pension isn't worth a piece of paper. He signed it on. But it's not just Rich. If the money's no good, it's not good to anybody. It'd be great calamity everywhere. This is what's happening right around us right now. Right now. Somebody jump in here. Maybe what do we do?
Maybe it'd be a good idea if we get a new currency.
Might be a good idea, right?
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no,
that's probably the plan.
I'm sure it's a plan. Now, Michael, see if you can catch this scenario. Let's say that we elect whoever pick. Hillary gets elected. She's not going to get elected. She ain't going to make it in November. Whoever the next president of Congress says, listen, we're going to revalue our currency. And it's not our fault here. We've been really, really solid here in America. But, you know, we're a global economy now. And so many economies around the world are so messed up that we're just going to have to revalue our currency. And here's what we're going to do. Scenario I'm playing out now. President's sitting before America telling us this. Beginning tomorrow, we would like you to show up at your local bank with all of your money. And this revaluing of all the currency, we have decided that we, in our generosity and to solidify the economies around the world, we are going to give you $5 for every dollar you have. You show up at your bank, and we will make the change in your account. And if you have $1,000, you now will have $5,000. And we'll get this economy right back on course. How many of your neighbors are going to run to the bank to get their five times more money than, And then they're going to say, I didn't buy into it, right? So, no, I ain't going to do that. I'm smarter than that. I got money buried outside my house. I got my money there. So, okay, well, good. 2 years from now, that ain't going to be accepted. It ain't going to be in good. Everybody's going to have to go buy this money. Oh, by the way, we're not going to actually give you money. We're just going to give you digits. We're just going to put everything in digits in your bank, and we'll give you a little card that you can just always pay with your card, and it'll take it right out of, and your money will be taken from physical money to digitized money. And the American people will jump on board and do it. Why? because we're ignorant about economics, and they think they're getting five times the money that they had before. They don't have any idea how this whole thing is going to play out. Anybody here? Anybody see the scenario any different than that?
Depends how stupid people are.
They're pretty stupid, aren't they, Jared?
Yeah, but this whole game, it's like a mafia racket type of thing. It's all confidence. If people lose confidence in the dollar or the system, it won't work. That's where that scenario they have to do it very subversively.
Yes.
And very, because if people lose confidence in the dollar, that's all it's backed with. It's confidence.
Okay, Jared, let me see how smart you are here. Let's say the 100 people you know, when the bank, when they say that we're going to give you $5 for every $1, how many of your friends are going to go take that deal?
The thing is, I think they'd take it, but they'd also say, how can they just multiply my money by five times? All that money that I slaved over for 10 years, they just multiplied it out of nowhere. Because in a person's mind, money represents sweat and blood of working. That's what money represents for a normal person. And when they cheapen that, they're cheapening my labor.
But Jared, they're already doing that.
They are. But they're doing it.
And we don't even know that it's going on, see? We don't even know that it's going on. So that's why, listen, folks, we've got to remember this. Ultimately, we don't know how this whole thing will play out. We don't know. And, you know, Roger, you can go out and you can accumulate $500,000 in gold and silver, and then they make the owning of gold and silver illegal, right? So ultimately, something crazy is coming down. That's why I said that we have to take – hear me. God, we're about out of time. We got to quit preaching the gospel and start preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Those are not the same. And if we preach the gospel, if we preach more than just salvation, getting souls saved, which is what we hear, when we move to teaching the gospel of the kingdom, then they're not going to be able to pull this crap on us. See, we've permitted them to be able to do that. Serge, good to see you. Couple minutes left. Anybody, anything get off the chest here? Yes, Jared.
What is the gospel of the kingdom versus the regular gospel?
Well, you know what? We maybe ought to talk about that. We go back to January when we started this show. That was the second or third show we did talking about the gospel of the kingdom, what the kingdom of God is. So maybe we can do a review on that tomorrow. Yes, sir.
I think a quick answer is, the gospel message is, I have always looked at it as Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the coming of Christ, him dying for our sins, the gospel message. The full gospel, to me, is the entire Bible.
How to live it. How to live the gospel of the kingdom. When Jesus came, he destroyed the old religious system.
The principles of the Old Testament. The principles of the New Testament. The entire Bible.
Well, remember, he told
them, the gospel of the kingdom.
When they asked him, what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In other words, everything about the gospel is in those two things. The gospel of the kingdom. Loving your neighbor involves honesty in business dealings, honesty in everything that you do, a set of principles that everybody follows. And he said he would take those, and he'd write them on the fleshly tablets of our heart, and they're not on our heart anymore. We don't love our neighbor. We don't love our neighbor. We don't honor our parents. We don't honor, how many of us, me included, how many of you got your parents in nursing homes? Can't imagine my mom and dad ever putting me in a nursing home. I just can't. But it's become the American way, hasn't it? Become the American way to do it. And you know what? That's not the gospel of the kingdom. That's not the gospel of the kingdom.
I think
we're in
the
nursing home because everybody's working.
Yeah, there you go. Good, Wayne.
Well, I think we have two gospels out there, and this is I think this is the biggest problem where people get confused. I think we have the gospel of the kingdom, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. He controls you. You follow him. No questions asked. He's the boss. And then there's the gospel of conversion. And I think they're two different gospels. Pray the prayer, you get saved. Too many people have fallen for that gospel, but there's no fruit to that gospel. There's fruit to the gospel of the kingdom, because every one of those disciples, except Judas, and we know why he did what he did, so the scripture can be fulfilled, all of those disciples, they stayed on track and they followed Jesus throughout their life and died for it.
Okay, so how about this, guys? We're out of time. I'm going to just finish with this. So Jesus is getting ready to leave. It's Matthew 28. He's getting ready to leave. Famous last words from Jesus, right? Famous last words. I'm out of here, boys. Hey, any last words for us there, Lord? Yeah, yeah. Here you go. How about this? Go you, therefore, into all the world, into all nations, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's the gospel of the kingdom. Teach them kingdom principles. You do that, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So I gave you all this stuff. Teach it to everybody. Teach it to everybody. The world will be better off. Gospel of the kingdom. Hey, God bless you. See you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.